You know how Kit Kat is so famous in Japan?
Yeah.
Because during exam period, they would give each other Kit Kats?
No way! True or false?
Okay.
Binondo the Church, which is a famous church in Chinatown. The church stones are partially made with Chinese gravestones.
False.
True!
Oh, nice. Why did I say nice?
I hope you get rich. And then you have to tell me.
I hope you get rich. That's how we should greet each other.
All the time. I hope you get rich.
If it's a super fancy porridge, like with like saffron and truffles.
And like, what's a weird fit? Abalone?
And escargot.
That'd be the grossest porridge. Truffle, escargot, abalone, and saffron is the grossest sounding porridge I've ever heard of.
And if it's like a $5,000 bowl of porridge,
then you're in New York. I hope you get rich.
I hope you get rich too.
Must Be Crazy podcast. I'm Anima.
And I'm Ice. And this is a podcast on Philippine mythology. So every other week, we talk about stories from Philippine mythology and folklore that fascinate us. And this week is going to be about
Filipino Chinese New Year. And it's a little bit of a
Filipino Chinese mythology or stories?
Filipino Chinese New Year.
Oh, it's about New Year itself.
Yes, it's about Philippine Chinese traditions, mm-hmm. stories, mm-hmm. origins, and actually a little bit about the history of Filipino Chinese people in the Philippines.
I love it.
So there's history aspects, there's customs aspects, and there's mythology aspects too.
Because our relationship with Chinese culture goes as far back as pre-colonial days, mm-hmm. isn't it? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that in the past episodes, we've started talking about the origins of words and beliefs, and a lot of them have roots in Indian culture, yes. Sanskrit culture, Muslim culture, and of course, the influences of the Spanish. But one of the very oldest influences are Chinese culture. And one of the more preserved, I would say, in air quotes, are Filipino Chinese habits. Because
there's a very big Chinese community.
Exactly.
Filipino Chinese heritage in the country.
And I know that my grandmother was part Chinese, but we didn't really talk about it, but her beliefs really informed that she was super Chinese. But I did my DNA ancestry analysis and I'm like 13% Chinese. So I feel like I'm a very big part of Chinese genetically. But culturally, I actually did not know so much about the Filipino Chinese culture in the Philippines, particularly Manila, until I started working.
Okay.
And I started having friends who were Filipino Chinese.
Uh-huh.
Who had the weirdest customs when it came to Chinese.
Are we
going to
talk
about Grace? Who, as an aside, refuses to sleep without tucking in her shirt because she believes she will get gas through her belly button.
Is it like a Chinese
belief? I think so. It's not a Chinese New Year belief though. But are the friends like Ange, yeah. Pat, and yeah. Avelyn, all my other friends. And I was like, really? That's a thing? And so for me, it was just so new and fresh. It's kind of like learning about superstitions as a grown-up.
Mm.
So I'm going to touch a bit about that. But I wanted to start off with a quiz.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to do a quiz.
Pressure is on. Do I get a prize?
You get a prize. You get to be the smartest person in the room. And I'm doing a quiz because I know you have Chinese Filipino friends.
Yeah, and I'm a quarter Chinese.
You're a quarter Chinese too.
I think. Mm-hmm. From apparently like my grandfather came from the mainland.
Yeah.
But I didn't grow up with like the Chinese customs.
Yeah. So you might ace this. You never know. Because a lot of these
I doubt it.
A lot of these
but and, let's see.
And a lot of these customs, we live in Singapore now. A lot of these customs I'm realizing are
shared.
some are shared, but some are unique to the Philippines.
Ah.
Yeah. And so, you know, when I was here in Singapore and I was talking to our Singapore Chinese co-workers and said, do you do this for China? They're like, no, but they do something else. So I tried to narrow down the ones that are more uniquely Filipino Chinese.
Okay.
And some are going to be common. So some are going to be obvious. The first one is the most ubiquitous one. Mm-hmm. It is about the tikoy. Tikoy is the snack
they give each other during Chinese New Year.
So the first question
is, what's it
is,
made of? Oh, is that part of the question?
Yes. Okay. Well, that's part of the question, yes. So this is a multiple choice question.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Gifting tikoy or glutinous rice cake to business associates and partners are used to attract luck. But what is it about the tikoy that makes it true, that makes you attract luck?
Okay.
A, because it's shaped like the moon, which is always lucky. B, because it's sticky and sweet and the good luck will stick to you and make us stick together.
I like that one.
Because the characters for tikoy sound like high year.
Okay.
So which is it? A, B, C?
C sounds logical.
Choose all the correct options.
It is...
moon?
B and C.
Yes! You got it. It's B and C. And I love that because tikoy is so sticky.
So tikoy means high year.
Yeah. The Chinese, the Mandarin is nian giao. Nian is year and giao is high.
Hey, we're gao. Sorry if we're
giao.
We're sorry it is sorry. We mispronounced Chinese.
We're just reading as we understand it. But yes, but I love it. It's because it's sticky.
I love it.
And we stick together.
That makes so much sense.
We stick together.
That makes so much sense.
Right?
It reminds me of, you know how Kit Kat is so famous
in Japan? Yeah.
Because during exam period, they would give each other Kit Kats.
No way!
So they would give each other Kit Kats during exam period because it sounds like the word Kitokatsu.
Oh.
Which is like good luck, I think, or something.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
and that's
so
why
cute.
That's why there's so much like creatively flavored Kit Kat in Japan. That's why it's so big because there's a big like every year before the exams,
they write their
you
exams.
Would gift someone with Kit Kat.
That's so cute. And also, I've always wondered why it was all individually wrapped, and I thought that was just Japan because Japan individually wrapped something. But then in America, the Kit Kats are like in these big blocks, and then in Japan, it's individually.
Yeah, so it's like because Kitokatsu, which is a Japanese phrase, means you will surely win. Like you're gonna get it.
Oh, I love
so
that.
It's like a national exam thing.
Oh my gosh! On that note, related to that note, this is a true or false question.
Okay.
If you are craving for tikoy. You can just buy one and make it for yourself. True or false?
False.
Yes, you're right. False. It's bad luck if you buy your own tikoy. Because you can only give or receive tikoy as gifts. Same for oranges. Like, you know, they give you mandarin oranges.
Yeah.
You can only give it. You cannot buy it for yourself.
How come?
It's bad luck.
Why?
Because it's selfish.
Oh, damn.
So, Ice, give me tikoy.
It's such a nice idea because it kind of enforces the idea of community.
Yes.
Like, you can't do it all yourself.
Yes.
You have to, like, help each other. I'm sure we'll get into that once we get into practices.
Yes, yeah. Yes. It's all.
I love it.
Yes. Here's a little bit of a history.
Okay.
True or false question. Manila's Chinatown is the oldest Chinatown in the entire world.
It would be great if it were true. I'm going to go with true. Just
true,
cause.
It is true.
Ah!
It is. It is. It is the oldest in 1594. So
makes
the
sense.
Philippines was discovered in 1521.
Discovered,
sorry.
wasn't discovered.
The Spanish people arrived in 1521.
We
already existed. The Spanish
conquistadors arrived
in the Philippines in 1521. We already existed. And the Chinese were around even before that because
there was so much trade between
Urduha, the legends of Urduha were pre-colonial, but also it was, you know, very, very adjacent to Chinese pirates, you know. That governor general that we talked about in our Wibbly Wobbly Timey Wimey episode was killed by Chinese pirates.
Exactly.
So the trade
Dasmariñas.
Yes, yeah. Governor General Dasmariñas. And so that was I think that was like 1570s, I remember. So this was the establishment of Chinatown was 1594. And it was the first one. And I thought before the U.S. Chinatown mm-hmm. in San Francisco was the first one. Because they were building railroads and everything.
I have a silly question.
Yes.
Why would there be a need to suddenly establish a Chinatown? Is it because the Spanish people segregated the Chinese people? Like, yes. Did they used to live with everyone else?
There were areas where the Spanish allowed the Chinese to stay in. Ah. So before they were living
but
with
cleverly everyone. Enough, they docked near the ports.
Yes.
That's very clever.
Exactly.
Of and, the Chinese community.
And a lot of Chinese people in other parts of the Philippines and other parts of the world would live near the ports. Like,
yeah.
Like my friend Tanya in Surigao, her great-grandfather who was Chinese, bought up all the land by the port, by yeah. the riverway, right? So I think it's just...
And I'm thinking, like, these smart. Spanish people did not think that through.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would you see a really big trading port?
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese, like a yeah. sub-community within.
They did, to be honest, they did gain a lot from the Chinese community mm. in the Philippines, in the old Manila area, mm. port area. But you know what they did? They had a border. They delineated land where the Chinese could live from this far to this far.
Mm.
And you know what that range was? It mm. was the Cannonball Range.
What does that mean?
So that if they ever...
Had to bomb
the Chinese, they were always a cannonball's range away.
Was this Binondo?
It was Binondo, yes. Mm. It used to be, original Chinatown used to be across the river in Pasig, and then they moved to Binondo, across the Pasig River.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that's...
And just for like spatial, like where is it in the context of where the forts were? What was the fort nearest to it?
It was near the port city, it's near Intramuros. You can actually walk... From
so it was within Cannonball Range of Intramuros. Jesus.
Yes, within Cannonball Range. You can walk. You can park in Intramuros and do an Intramuros walking
tour. So this
is
the first Chinatown.
In the world. Okay, here's another Binondo Q&A.
Okay.
Yeah, true or false?
Okay.
Binondo Church, which is a famous church in Chinatown. Binondo is the Filipino Chinatown. The church stones... The stones on the pavement and the walls are partially made with Chinese gravestone.
False.
True.
Oh, nice.
And it's not because of any...
Why
any...
did I say nice? Interesting. I'm like, nice.
Because you're my friend and we're Tikoy together.
And like...
That's why you say it's nice. But
so,
it's
gravestones from where?
China. So it's because the Philippines...
From mainland China.
From mainland China. The Philippines, and I think I told you this before, the Philippines as a volcanic island... doesn't have its own stone. We have volcanic ash, we have limestone, and these are not good building materials. That's also why we don't have sort of big temples like they do in Cambodia and
so we don't have what do you call that stone? Sedimentary.
We don't have sedimentary rock. We only have volcanic and no we have sedimentary limestone is a sedimentary rock.
Igneous.
But we don't have robust igneous rock.
Geography,
geology. So we don't have hard rock that is, we don't have like, we have some marble in one island, but that's it. We don't have enough rock to make our own big structures. So we had to import rock from China and it's called Piedra China.
Sorry, igneous rock is actually from lava or magma. So we would have a lot of igneous rock.
Not old igneous rock.
Anyway,
yeah.
We're not geologists.
Sorry, geologists.
Rock?
So we don't have a lot of building rock, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So we had to import Piedra China, which is rock from China. And some enterprising businessmen used any and all sources that they could find through quarries and mining. But many of them found discarded gravestones that were lying around and they would use them too. So in the entrance
Damn.
Yeah, so in the entrance of Binondo Church, you can still find the paving stones on the front are gravestones and they'll have names and dates and stuff in Chinese. and you can also see them in Intramuros and Vigan. Vigan,
wow.
Which is a heritage city in the north of the Philippines. Okay, another true or false, Binondo Church belfries were actually converted pagodas.
Makes sense.
Yes.
True?
Yes, true. They were old temples. It was an old temple, an old Buddhist temple. You can tell because it's unlike regular belfries, which are like either square or round. The Binondo the Church belfry has 8 corners.
8 sides, yeah.
Which is the lucky number of sides. Also, they were converted by Chinese workers because hardware, construction businesses were all owned by Chinese businessmen back in the day.
Yes.
And they were like, might as well.
Exactly.
Might as well keep it. Okay, here is a tradition question.
Okay.
Which produce does not belong in a Filipino-Chinese New Year celebration?
Okay.
Pineapples, ginger root, mandarin oranges, apples, papaya.
Oh gosh. Pineapples, ginger root,
mandarin oranges, apples, papaya. Which does not belong?
I'm thinking either the papaya or the ginger root.
Think of the common characteristics of the ones that you know.
It should be ginger root. Shouldn't it?
Wrong! It's papaya.
Why? Because it's not circular?
Yes, because ginger root has little bowls.
A pineapple isn't really round, but I guess it has lots of circles on the eyes. A ginger root is so wobbly and
but
deformed.
It has little bulbous roots. So if you buy it in Binondo...
But when you open a papaya, it has little circle seeds.
But not always. Not all papayas have seeds. Damn. So those bulbs, if you go to Binondo and you're buying stuff for your table, there's like little red ribbons around every circular bulb because it's so cute.
So Chinese New Year is all about round stuff table,
and,
right?
And also,
so people buy round fruits because it symbolizes money.
Yes, yeah. Money and prosperity, and also fertility. Them, you know. But one thing that I think from what I've read is unique to Philippines is there are 12 different rounds fruits, 12 different kinds of fruits in the Chinese New Year table. 12 because for every year.
So there's like one fruit that corresponds to one
day of the year. Yeah.
Thing of this zodiac.
Yeah.
So what's the tiger fruit?
No. I mean, not a specific one.
Ah, okay.
But like there needs to be 12 kinds.
Just to represent the cycle.
Yes, to represent.
So you can't have just like 3 different kinds or whatever. Yes, it's not enough.
Here in Singapore you can. Some people just have the oranges, but in the Philippines, Filipino Chinese, they have there's a chico, there's a dalandan, there's like an orange, and there's an apple, and
it's
there's
so
a
cool
plum,
that,
and
it's
there's
so cool
a,
that here in Singapore they have like that big orange
tree.
Shrub. Outside, right?
Yeah.
Is it an orange?
It's an orange. I don't think you can eat it.
It's a kind of orange, but what is it?
It's a kiat-kiat.
Kiat-kiat.
Because kiat-kiat also means something. I have it in my notes, but I forgot.
Okay.
We'll get to that later. Yeah. Okay. Another question. True or false? This is a Chinatown question.
Okay.
Usually, fire trucks are red, but in Chinatown, fire trucks are bright pink. True or false?
True.
False.
Really?
That's a trick question. It's actually, they're purple. This company called Ingbiten, which sells all of these snacks like hopia
mongo
hopia ube hopia,
they have they're the ones who have like this super yummy cheese and ube one.
So good.
It's so good.
And Ingbiten is all over
so
the world.
So Ingbiten is a sponsor of the fire trucks.
Yes because again they were marginalized people, so when there was a fire in Binondo, the regular fire department
Not help. So they had to create their own fire department.
They had to create their own fire department. And then in the 70s, when NB10 became like really, really powerful and international and successful, to give back to the community, he bought the fire trucks.
That's such a nice story.
But they're purple. And the guy who owns NB10 and his sons are volunteer firemen.
Cute.
Isn't that cute? Also, the fire trucks are really cute. They're always freshly painted. Okay, here's another one. This is a tradition I've never heard of.
Okay.
If you go to a bakery during Chinese New Year, a Chinese bakery in Binondo, Chinese New Year, you can buy 5 animals that you offer, are offerings.
You go to a bakery, you buy animals?
Yes, they're bread shaped like animals.
Ah, okay.
And they are like your offerings. They're bread filled with pineapple, and they're offered to the God of Heaven during New Year. So, true or false, these are the different animals. Shell, fish, pata, duck, and chicken. Pata, as in not the pig, but the shape of pata.
Yes, true.
Yes, true.
It seems like what are the animals that you would normally sacrifice type of situation?
Shell.
Yeah.
Fish, pata, duck, and chicken.
That's why I said it was true. I was like, this sounds like in lieu of an actual sacrifice, you would instead offer the bread.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Yeah.
Okay.
I never seen it. I saw it in, I found this very, very specific. So Carlos Sildran, God rest his soul, he used to do these walking tours in Binondo and Intramuros. And in 2014, he did a show with his cousin, Claire Sildran, who went to my high school. They both went to my high school. And he did like a truncated version of the tour on TV. So I said, like, oh, this is so nice. Yay, research. Okay, this is your last question.
Okay.
Pineapples, true or false? Pineapples are lucky because the Hokkien word for it sounds like health and wealth. True or false?
False.
Yes, it actually sounds like good luck.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. And I felt it was too easy. I was like, this can't be just like.
And kiat kiat, here's the kiat kiat. Kiat kiat sounds like good, good.
Oh, nice.
Good, good. Okay, so let me tell you like the origin story of like why is there, what are the origins of New Year? And what are the myths around New Year?
Chinese New Year.
The Lunar New Year, yes. So folktales have been giving explanations on the traditions and rituals, right? So the legend of the New Year is the legend of Nian. And again, Nian sounds like year. And Nian Gao, which is the rice king, the tikoi here is in China, is also Nian Gao. So there was once a monster named Nian, which is year, who terrorized villages in China every year. And people were soon exhausted having to hide from the monster and decided of ways to repel the monster. How did they repel it? The wise men suggested making loud noises with drum and whatnot.
What kind of being is Nian?
So it's a lion-like creature.
Mm.
So doesn't it sound like the Bakunawa story?
It sounds exactly. That's why I asked.
It's the Bakunawa story.
It sounds like, so we have an episode, I think it's episode 9.
Imagine Dragons
on Bakunawa, and it talks about our own dragon myth. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you. Please go
ahead. No worries. No, but the interesting about it is it's a monster.
Every year the monster comes.
But it's not a monster that they have seen before. And so some people hypothesize
the monster changes every year?
No, it's a monster that is not, I guess, indigenous to China. So I guess they hypothesized it to be a lion because lions do not exist in China.
Mm.
Right? It's tigers, and lions are Africa, I guess. And so a wise man suggested making noises with drums and sticking red paper on each household door because red would be scary to the monster. So it turns out that the Nian monster was terrified of these three things.
Of what?
Fire, red paper.
How did they put fire?
And loud noise. They had torches. Okay. They lit torches. And so the monster never returned to plague the village after this. It became a ritual to set fireworks and wear red as auspicious color for New Year. So that's the legend of it. But isn't it cool? It's a lot like the Bakunawa myth.
Yeah.
But for us, the Bakunawa myth is related to the phases of the moon. But here in...
It's related to, yes, the phases of the moon, but also eclipses in particular. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So it's cool. So I have now...
Wait, how did it eventually get into this whole idea of a cycle of different animals every 12 years?
The zodiac is a different animal, literally.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I will have to, I know. I think that has more to do with constellations, much like the Western zodiac.
Okay, got it. But that's why in the new year, that's why they do that. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How do they tell the time? Because like the date changes, right?
Yes.
For a new year.
It's the phases of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's much like Orthodox Christmas. It changes during the year. So it depends on when the new moon is going to happen, mm-hmm. when the full moon finishes. So it was full moon a couple of days ago, and New Year, Chinese New Year is in
the new moon.
A month. Yeah, it's a new moon.
Mm,
so okay. February 1st, it's going to happen. But I was always wondering,
is it because the monster can only come when there's no light, like when the new moon
is my hypothesis.
There.
Mm. That's what I think. And that's why you would have to light it up, lanterns, fireworks, everything.
Okay.
I wonder if that's why the Chinese invented gunpowder. Because they did, right? They did invent gunpowder. So related to the animals, the animals that we'll see in Chinese New Year are, of course, the dragon dance and then the lion dance. And I was always wondering about the differences of them. And I always thought the dragon dance and the lion dance were so athletic. And like, it must be really hard. You can't see where you're going. Mm-hmm. So
because, explain what...
So during Chinese New Year celebration, there's usually a party or some ceremony. And then houses or neighborhoods and institutions will invite...
And even offices.
Will invite dragon dancers. So if it's a dragon dance, it's a long dragon and it's about 15 segments. So 15 people are there like hopping around and doing things. If it's a lion dance, it's just two guys. And the guy in the front is also controlling the eyes and the tongue.
Yeah, so they dance around and they kind
of... Loud drum music!
Then they kind of like go around the entire house or the entire office, right?
Mm-hmm. And scare away the bad luck. And so to make it prosperous for the year. So that's what they do every year. And you pay. And these people... So I did some research on the Philippine... One of the big Philippine dragon and lion dance companies. Mm-hmm. And they are athletes. They're on their off days if they don't do dragon and lion dances. They are national athletes. They
wow.
are national wushu athletes.
Oh my
and
gosh.
The Philippines always medals with
because
wushu.
You need a lot of stamina. Like, it takes a while to get mm-hmm. through an entire house or building, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do? They go through every house and they use their loud noises
yes.
to scare away
yeah.
bad luck
the
or
dragons,
bad spirits?
The dragons and lions themselves don't have loud noises. There's an accompanying
they have like a marching band
of drummers yeah. and clangers and noisemakers, and there's music piped out also. So you can hear it in the neighborhoods.
Why is it a dragon or a lion? Like, why? Yeah.
So the dragon... Oh, wait. So they are the lucky animals. There's a... I have here, like, why is it different? Like, what... The lion is for one thing and the dragon is for another thing. The dragon is for prosperity and the lion is for robustness and health.
Mm.
So I think it depends if you want to be rich or if you want to be healthy.
It's interesting because, so I remember one time we had like, I think Singaporean or a Chinese mm-hmm. sales leader in the Philippines, and he hired like a dragon dance to come into the office. And it was the first time that we ever had something like that because we're not a Chinese company.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they came in, and so all of us were like, ooh, what is this? It was our first time to experience it.
That's what I was saying. Like, I never really got into Chinese.
He was walking around. He was handing out ang pao, the red envelope with the money.
Which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah. And then eventually we heard like this really, really noisy... It's rhythmic, yeah, but it's not like, you know...
It's very discordant.
It's not soothing.
No.
It's syncopated to a certain extent, right? Because the intent is just to like jar the bad luck and whatever, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So it was going around and dancing. We're like, wow, this is taking a while because mm-hmm. we never witnessed it before. And then it ended like at the entrance
mm-hmm.
and then they did like a full on like...
Yeah, the acrobatic,
very long dance. And then I think you feed it an orange.
A pearl, yeah. They are following a pearl that symbolizes or something that is like a pearl.
So the boss or someone would hand an orange, I guess that symbolizes the pearl, to the lion or the dragon. They quote-unquote
eat it.
And then while they're dancing, the person inside, so I guess the person behind the dragon, would like peel the orange and then they would leave a message on the floor. So they would like... be lying down on the floor for like a good 5-10 minutes.
They probably prepare the message.
Yeah, and we're all waiting. We're like, what is going on? And we're not allowed to leave. So we're like, then eventually after 5 minutes,
he leaves.
He stands up and then there's like a message and it's like, good luck, or like, they put like 88
prosperity,
or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was so cute. Very interesting.
It's very involved.
Uh-huh.
And actually in other countries, it's very competitive. So they have competitions of dragon presentation. So it's like ice skating. There are technical aspects and there are artistic aspects.
What?
So the two dragons, the lion, they'll have to go on poles suspended over water, and they'll jump and, you know, have to go through the course artistically but also technically. So sometimes both dancers are on one pole and then one dancer will be standing, and then another, the head dancer will be standing on the guy's knees.
So it's
and
basically
thighs.
Just like a dance competition.
Yes, it is like a dance
athletic competition.
And so the guy who I did research on the company, they want to do it as a actual competitive sports where you win
medals.
It's
kind of an art, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so here, this is the thing about the lion. The lions are not native in China. In ancient China, there was a mysterious animal destroying all the crops of the farmers. And they thought
Did it come through Mongolia?
I don't know which part of China it was. Mm. So if it was in the north, why not, right? Mm. Or on the east.
West.
So they drove it away by banging pots and pans. They did develop the lion dance. And then there's also a northern and southern style.
Okay.
So the northern style is acrobatic. And the southern style are martial arts based.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see a video of that. Okay. Now it's almost New Year. I want to give you a New Year checklist.
Okay.
Of things you need to do before and things you are not allowed to do during Chinese New Year.
Okay.
I like the things that you can't do during Chinese New Year. It's very much aligned with my values. So before Chinese New Year, red, of course, is considered the luckiest color. You have to wear it on the day, but you have to prepare the red envelopes called, and hongbao is the other word for it, but I think in Hokkien, which is most spoken in the Philippines, is angbao.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of mechanics with the red packets, right? So married couples give the packets. So as long as you're single,
you keep getting
packets, and they queue up youngest to oldest, and the oldest is in the end, and then they get the packets. And our friend Pachoa was single until she was like 36, and she's like, this is
like,
so great.
That's amazing,
right?
Because I remember when I started working, I was so sad that during Christmas I didn't get aguinaldo anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Aguinaldo is the same principle, like, yeah, during Christmas, like, they give money to, like,
but when you work, you don't get presents. But in Chinese, as long as you're not married, you get it.
There are two ways to think about it, right? It's so embarrassing, you're the last one to get it, but on the other hand, you're like, hey, stream of income every Chinese New Year.
I know,
why not?
But also, it's like a disincentive to get married. I'm like,
they have other mechanisms too.
And then there's like a lot of like nuance in also in terms of like what you put into the money, right? You get, they can only have it in denominations, on even denominations. $2, $6, $8, $10, $50, $20. But you can't do
four
because the word for four sounds like death.
Yeah.
So four is the unlucky number. How do you greet a person for Chinese New Year?
Okay.
It is, the Cantonese greeting is Kong Hei Fat Choi. And another greeting is Kong Hei Swat Sai, which means congratulations, be prosperous, or I hope you get rich.
I love
it. Right? It's not Happy New Year. In the Philippines, the greeting for New Year is Manigong Bagong Taon. And
yes,
Manigong means hopefully your objectives are met,
yeah,
essentially, like, or your goals are met. But essentially, in Chinese New Year, the greeting is, I hope you get rich. And then you have to tell me,
I hope you get rich too.
Thank you. I hope you get rich too.
Okay.
So that's the greeting.
We should, that's how we should greet each other.
All the time. I hope you get rich.
I hope you get rich.
Awesome. Okay, so what you need to do before Chinese New Year, all the preps, obviously cleaning your house and paying off debts, because you don't want that to carry on into the new year.
There's a huge like spring cleaning aspect of,
yes,
it. You're,
yes,
kind of clearing off all the bad juju,
mm-hmm,
from the past year.
Yes.
A lot of people also refresh their houses, like you redecorate.
So a friend of ours,
you have like new furniture.
Yeah. So
can
friend,
I just tell you,
I'll go.
There are, we have like a delivery from IKEA that's,
uh-huh,
due. We can't arrange any delivery until after CNY.
Because it's all booked. It's all booked.
And even the furniture donation, I'm getting very specific. This is Singapore. Even the furniture donation places, they're all fully booked until,
yes,
after CNY, because everyone's getting rid,
exactly,
of like, their,
exactly,
old furniture.
So our friend Ella is moving into a new apartment, and the furniture in the apartment is a little old, like,
mm-hmm,
the TVs and, you know. And so she says, you know, can you provide new furniture? And they said, yeah, now. So they were rushing last week They got
because
me.
It has to be in time.
It has to be in the place. They're not moving till March, but it has to be delivered and in the house during Chinese New Year.
For maximum
TV, refrigerator, aircon, everything.
For maximum good luck.
For maximum good luck.
But
and
what
prosperity.
Does having new stuff help? I get the whole getting rid of
old. It's the whole thing of like what happens in the new year will continue on to the rest of the year.
It's so if you bless thing. Everything.
Yes. If everything is clean at the start of the year, everything will be clean for the rest of the year, hopefully.
And there's this principle of like, I don't know if you'll get into it, there's this idea of like a god of prosperity.
I won't get into that. Yeah, the god of prosperity.
That's very heavy in the Malay and Singapore practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not so much in the Philippines that I've seen. Only that offering of fish and shell and pata to the god of heaven. But this one is also like in the same principle of the house must be like in great condition. Yourself, you must be also in great condition. So there is no booking for salons, nail salons, hair salons, plastic surgery salons in these months before Chinese New Year because everyone wants to have like perfect nails, perfect hair.
It's fully booked now.
It's fully booked now because when New Year comes, you have to have new hair, you have to have everything done. And this was really funny because when we were working in the Philippines, I have a Chinese Filipino friend and I was going to go to the salon on Chinese New Year, like on the holiday of Chinese New Year. And she's like, no, I have to get my hair cut before. I said, why? She's like, you can't do your hair after Chinese New Year. You have to do it before Chinese New Year.
But wait, like, do you have to wait a year after? Like, when's the next window?
I guess the next month or something. That like grace when people forgot that it's Chinese New Year. And I said, and personally, it's me. I'm like a Jew in Disneyland on Christmas Day. I was like, yeah, salon on Chinese New Year. I'm gonna do that. So in America, Jews go to Disneyland on Christmas Day because all the Catholics are at home and not going anywhere. Also, they go to Chinese restaurants on Christmas Day.
What was I going to say? I think it's also a good way of supporting the businesses in the community. Like, if you tell everyone that, oh, you have to have a new this or that, or you need to refresh yourselves.
It's good for the community building.
It kind of keeps the economy kind of running at the same time, right?
Yes, yes. Because you know people are shopping.
It's reason to spend, you know?
You know what it is? It's a Black Friday for Chinese.
It's the world's oldest marketing tactic.
It's the oldest. Some guy made up this superstition that everything has to be new, and he made furniture. That was it. Or owned the salon. And so it's a conspiracy.
It's like how in Christmas in the Philippines, during the week after Christmas before New Year, you can't show anything but local films, right?
Yes, yes. The Metro Manila Film Fest. Yeah. That was so shitty for like Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings coming out on Christmas Day. We had to wait like 2 weeks before we could watch it.
It was a big thing recently because of the Spider-Man movie. And everyone's like, why don't you just support local and we want to watch Spider-Man.
Another thing that was, I was going to remember something that had to do with life and renewal.
Yes.
Which I really like because you clean the house, you put the plants in, everything is fresh. I think that's really nice. And also, you invite people over, which is the huge component,
of
Chinese New Year.
It's such a great idea to kind of have this practice because you try to do like a reset, right, every year. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one thing to kind of feel internally that you're resetting, but there's something almost ritualistic mm-hmm. about cleaning out the house, like having like a very different look and feel, both yourself and of your
surroundings,
so that you really feel like you can start over.
That's one of the things that I'm really, and we could cut this out, but that's one of the things I'm really missing about, you know, being in a pandemic in terms of like just
I
miss now that we are in the pandemic is that there's not a lot of physical manifestations of the passage of time. And a big component of the refresh, jumping back in, a big component of the refresh, I always think, is that people are going to come to your house and gather, and they're going to see all of your new stuff, right? Yeah. So Chinese New Year is, for Chinese people at least, it's the bigger holiday versus Christmas.
Yeah.
And if you have Chinese friends from Binondo in the Philippines, it is this massive, Jill used to have this massive Chinese New Year party every year. And they had like a famous band performing. She's like, come to our house. We're having a very simple celebration. Freaking 300 people. It's like a wedding. It was like the most massive, and of course several dragon dances. But it's in China, it's actually the holiday that people go home.
Yeah. It's,
and for a lot of people who are migrant workers, migrant meaning they live in different places in China and they go to the cities, it's the day that they go home the most. Not
They're
Christmas.
Allowed to go home.
Yes. Because things close down.
Things close down, everyone else is on holiday, yes. So everyone can go back. Yeah.
And here in Singapore, when I first moved here 9 years ago, there aren't any restaurants open for Chinese New Year, and very few groceries are open during Chinese New Year. So I had to order from the Indian restaurant because I didn't have
any food. They were the only ones left.
Yes, I didn't have any food. I didn't have any travel plans, nothing. And so, you know, that's the only thing that's like super, super closed. And so I'm going back to the, like, when Chinese New Year actually hits.
Okay.
What are the things that you cannot do?
Okay.
You know, you're meeting your family and your friends. Everyone's in your house. And these are the things you cannot do. You cannot, this is problematic, take medicine.
What?
You cannot take medicine.
Why?
Because they believe that if you take medicine on the first day of the year, it means you will get ill for the whole year. So good luck, COVID.
But like, if you're sick during the New Year itself, then doesn't that mean that you're going to be sick throughout the year?
No, you tough it out.
What?
Because it's the taking of the medicine.
So if you take medicine on New Year, it means that over the next year, you will have to keep taking medicine.
Yes.
Because it's this whole idea of, this is a similar superstition that we normally have on New Year, like how you act and what you do will be repeated throughout the year.
Like my,
if you do it on the New
my
Year.
My mom is like, did you shower before? She's always like, did you take a bath before New Year? Because you have to be clean and fresh on New Year.
So one time I think I had to I had to do something for work. And I had the option of like, do I do it on the New Year or do I cram it the day after? And I was like, at the back of my mind, I was like, if I do this, then it means like I'm going to be working every single day.
Exactly.
No, I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Oh my God. We always did, when Brian and I started dating, we always said like, we'll always spend New Year here. And the first year we did it, we like fell asleep before actual New Year. And for 9 years, that's what we've been doing. We were asleep. Every New Year, we are asleep. And I'm okay with this. Another thing related that you cannot do, you cannot eat porridge or lugaw for breakfast on New Year's Day. And porridge is a normal breakfast for Asian families, particularly Chinese families.
Because?
Because porridge signifies is what you eat. That's what poor people eat. For New Year. And
what?
So you don't want to be poor for the rest of the year. So if you're going to spend for one breakfast for the
year.
But
what if it's a super fancy porridge? Like with like saffron and truffles.
And what's a weird fit? Abalone?
And escargot. I'm just putting in random stuff.
I don't know. That'd be the grossest porridge. Truffle, escargot, abalone, and saffron is the grossest sounding porridge I've ever heard. Oh.
And top with gold flakes. Okay. No.
Gold flakes?
What then? If it's super, if it's like a $5,000 bowl of porridge, then does
the
that
bougiest,
negate?
The bougiest porridge.
Does that negate?
Then you're in New York.
You are.
You're in New York. You're not in. You're not in the Philippines. Oh, this is fun. You cannot have. You know the container where you put your rice before you cook it. The biggest container. You can't have it empty. It has to be full on New Year. Again, because you don't want to.
Also, because you have lots of guests coming.
It's also the practical.
You need to keep cooking rice.
Yep. Okay, here's another one. You cannot do the laundry. Because on the first and second day of New Year,
because
these 2 days are celebrated as the birthday of Shui Shen, the water god. And it's the reason why you also need to do your cleaning before New Year's.
Why?
So actually the days...
Sorry, so I don't get it.
So you have to not waste water.
Oh, because he wants to use it for
his birthday. Yes, he needs it for his birthday.
Okay.
So apparently, and I don't know the super details of this, but and I've only found out here in Singapore, that Chinese New Year is actually 14 days. It's 2 weeks of celebration. And every day means something. And like, there's one day that's just this God's day, this God's day, that God's day. And then one day is everyone's birthday.
What?
It's everyone's birthday day.
All of the gods?
Every person in the world. It's everyone's birthday.
Oh, it's when mankind was created?
Yes. That's everyone's birthday. One, I think it's the last day, the 14th day. It's everyone's birthday.
Of the new year.
Of the Chinese New Year, yeah.
Wow.
Funny, no?
So man was created on the 14th day?
I guess. Chinese people
We
were.
Don't know about Chinese mythologies.
So. I did some research, but not all the research. Okay, another thing you cannot do. So this is why my mom asked me. You cannot wash your hair on the first day of Chinese New Year.
Because it uses water.
Because it uses water. But also, in Chinese tradition, washing your hair must be avoided too, because in Chinese language, hair has the same pronunciation. There's a lot of homonyms things here. Hair has the same pronunciation and character as fa, as in fa sai, which is konghei fa chai, which is to become wealthy. So if you wash it, you wash your fa chai. You wash your wealth.
You wash away your wealth.
Yes. So I hope you get rich. Is also I hope you hair. you don't wash away the get rich on the day. Isn't that funny? Anyways, you cannot obvious. You cannot use a broom. You cannot sweep away things. You cannot wear torn or damaged clothes, even artistically torn clothes.
Oh wow! Someone had to modify that eventually to
for fashion.
To talk about ripped jeans.
Yes. And then, of course, you have to wear red, so you cannot wear white or black because they are also mourning clothes and you do not want to be mourning through the year. You cannot kill things because blood is an ill omen. So one time, it was, I don't think it was Chinese New Year. I think it was New Year, and there was a mosquito and I was going to kill it. And my grandmother says, you cannot kill things on New Year.
Ah.
She says, because it's bad luck. So and I was like, it's biting me. Ah.
You can't kill an ant. You can't kill a cockroach.
Because blood is an ill omen, which will cause misfortunes. Which is in connection, you know, on Chinese New Year, a lot of people give gifts to each other too. Mm-hmm. It's not as common in the Philippines, but I think you give gifts to your partner, business partners, or your clients. These gifts cannot be knives and also clocks.
Why? What
clocks or watches. You can't give gifts of clocks or watches.
Why?
Because clocks or watches have a bad omen in terms of you're counting down your time. So it's a death. It's a death omen if you get a watch as a gift. And I think that was played up in one of those Chinese Manopo movies. Eddie Garcia, who was the patriarch of the Manopo, the very first Manopo movie, which is about Filipino Chinese. And he was given a clock and then shortly after he died. Yeah.
So it's like your time is running out or something like that.
Yes, yes.
Do you know that that's also an Irish superstition?
Is it really?
I found out that you can't give a gift of a sharp object, so a knife or scissors.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, it's like a
cutting the bonds of your... Yeah.
Yeah. So
Brian's given me so many knives and scissors.
So here's what you have
okay,
to do.
Okay, what do you do?
If you give someone a knife or a scissor, you have to ask them to pinch you.
Oh, that's all. I'm going to pinch Brian later.
So for however many knives or scissors that he's given you.
Wait, he gave me a Leatherman and it's kind of like a Swiss knife, so it has a lot of...
So you have to pinch him like 35 times or something.
Awesome!
You have to tell him, hey, because of Irish superstition.
That's so nice. So those are the traditions of Chinese New Year. And I thought I knew a lot of them, but apparently I don't. And I just really enjoy reading about it. Seeing how... It's consistent with a lot of our own beliefs. Yeah. And
a lot of it, because a lot of it has penetrated the practices of people, especially in the Tagalog region.
Yes.
Where a lot of the Chinese have settled.
Yeah.
You know what would be interesting to look into eventually is what is the history of the Filipino Chinese, right, in the Philippines? Yeah. Because as we talked about, like, they influence so much of culture and tradition as well.
Business.
Because of trade that existed for the longest time.
And names,
between
too.
The countries.
And there are so many things about Chinese-Filipino culture that I find very interesting that I feel I know nothing about. Like, how a lot of Filipino-Chinese names Hispanized their names so that they would fit in better.
Yeah.
So like, for example, a surname like Kuya Kong is apparently there's a Ku, there's a Yang, and there's a Ko on the boat that they were in.
It became
Kuangko. Kuangko, yeah. Lok Sin was Sin Lok.
Mm.
A lot of families bought surnames.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So like Angie, her, I don't know what her original Chinese surname was, but they bought Gabaldon.
Mm.
And then my friend Ted, they bought the surname Graho.
Gabaldon, like Diana Gabaldon. Like Diana Gabaldon, who wrote Outlander.
Outlander. But
by the way, if you guys haven't seen, if you want to learn about like Filipino Chinese culture as it's portrayed in like film,
yes,
Anna mentioned the Manopo series, which is how many movies now?
I don't know, six.
Six or seven.
It's really great.
And it goes through like different generations and different families of Filipino Chinese descent.
And when we say families, we don't mean generations of families. We mean like one guy's got like three wives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it covers a lot of these aspects of like what are the particular struggles that Filipino Chinese people have because of their very specific beliefs. Like, for example, there's this kind of joke, but it's like a real practice where a lot of the traditional Chinese families don't believe in marrying outside of the Chinese community, right?
Yeah.
And so there's this joke that if you're trying to be or have a relationship with someone within the Chinese community, you have a great wall
between the great wall.
And so it's such a colloquial thing to casually ask someone like, oh, do you have a great wall?
Yes.
And the person will be like, yeah, I have a great wall. And by that, you just mean that my parents are conservative. They want me to marry a Chinese person.
Yep. And there's all these things about like, for example, even today, there's still matchmaking happening in Filipino-Chinese community. When you set up someone with each other, they say Kai Shao.
Yeah.
And then when you have a boyfriend, they say Hoe. And Hoe means not boyfriend, but it means fiancé.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. So I get asked like, and they is have that your this, Hoe? Like, and
they have this like traditional engagement party called the Tinghun.
The Tinghun, which is grand.
Yeah.
Which is a grand wedding thing. I attended one Tinghun. It was the grandest thing.
And it's just an engagement party.
It's just an engagement party. There's different clothes. The one party will give the other party like gifts of gold, silk and something, and then the woman has to eat an entire egg in one go.
Why?
A whole egg in her mouth for fertility, for having children. And then the woman, when she enters the room, has to walk backwards to meet her groom for subservience. I know. So that's all covered in Manopo. A lot of really, really good. I'm outraged, but also a lot of things are happening. And there are colors you can wear. You know, it's just like so many interesting traditions as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you want to jump into that. If I have missed any tradition or any beliefs in Chinese, our Phil Chai friends, hi. Please let us know and you know, leave a message for us or a comment on our IG. And we'd love to discuss and learn more. Again, I only had Chinese-Filipino friends in my adulthood. So I feel like there was a great wall between me and the beliefs. Yeah. So my mom was
And
like,
let us know if there are other things you'd like us to kind of look into about the whole Filipino-Chinese kind of dynamic, history, tradition. I'm sure there's so much that we haven't seen.
So many things.
Like, for example, what has been the role of the Chinese community during the colonial period, or even
the
during
war.
Like the rise of like the Kingdom of Tondo and stuff like that.
Because Tondo is very near Binondo, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was the main area where a lot of trade happened. The Chinese, that was so much fun.
I hope you get rich.
I hope you get rich too. what was my score in the quiz? Type 8.
Out of 9, I think you got 7.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a solid A-.
I had like 2 to 3 mistakes, I think.
Happy New Year, everyone!
What's my price, Tikoy?
I'll get you a Tikoy. So we'll be sticky. So we'll be sticky friends.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! I hope you get rich!
I hope you get rich! Bye, guys.
Bye.
This has been an episode of
The Gods Must Be Crazy.
We hope that you enjoyed listening in. We will be posting episodes every other week or so. So, you know, please join us for the next one.
In terms of sources, where we got our stories, and how we know what we know, we try to do as much research as possible, within a reasonable amount of time, of course, and we try to stay close to the original tellers of the tale as much as possible. However, we do know that a lot of our mythology comes from oral tradition, stories that your grandma and your grandma's grandma and your grandma's grandma's grandma told you. So if our renditions or our stories are a little bit different from what you know and what you grew up with, please do let us know.
Follow us on Instagram at thegodsmustbecrazy.pod. We do post some additional information there. We post the teasers of what's coming next, you know, and any other things you may be curious about that we feature in our episodes. Who is Gardo Versace and why does he keep appearing in these different episodes? What are the different recipes that we feature for tinola and black rice and adobo and stuff like that? And obviously, it's where we would love to hear from you as well. If you have any other stories that you want to feature or maybe requests of things that you want us to feature. There's also a way to directly talk to us and share any of your stories. So if you go to our anchor.fm website, there's a button there with a plus sign and it says message, and you can actually record voice notes or voice memos for us to listen to and also possibly feature in the episodes themselves.
And of course, where you do listen to us, whatever platform it could be, please do rate, review, subscribe, download. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We're even on Audible.
Yeah.
So please share with your friends, tag your friends on our social media, and share your stories too, if you feel like it.
Yeah, the best way to support, you know, young and new podcasts like us is really just to spread the word out. So if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, you know, put in a rating and maybe a review of what you like about the show. Or if not, you know, just share it with your friends on social media. And, you know, that would be really, really helpful for us. So until next time.
Bye.